that are learning, wanting to be more like Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good afternoon. All right, make sure everybody's got a Bible, right? We're good? Okay. All right. What we're going to try to do, for those of you that don't take notes, I want you to take notes. All you have to take, if you want, is seven words. I'll give you more notes. I always teach with PowerPoint. Typically, I teach an hour on all of our services, Saturday night and Sunday, both services. So I'll probably teach about an hour, and then we'll open up for questions and just see how it goes. Now, I know some of you are married. Some of you are not married. Probably some of you are believers. Some of you are not believers. That's terrific. My wife and I have been married 45 years. So we have some horror stories to tell you this afternoon. No, we have lots of wisdom, things that we did that we would wish we could have done over and whatever, but that always happens. So I love to teach on marriage because you'll see in a moment in the notes, it's the foundation of our world. God made it that way. And as we go through the teachings, just some of you may be new, our premise is we were created by God, and He gave us the Bible, which is basically the roadmap to life, how to do life. So that's what we use versus the television or a psychologist or whatever else. We just do the Word of God. And He's the one who designed marriage, and you'll see that as we go through. So we'll get started. There's always hope. As we spend time together, it'll be exciting. Let me just turn this light on here, John, because I don't need it. There we go. Yeah, thank you. Anytime you teach on marriage, for those of you that are married, just remember there is nobody perfect in the room. Nobody has a perfect marriage. Nobody ever will. And that's because we're all people. But we can also do better, and we want to do that. So there's always forgiveness. There's always hope. And for many of us, over and over again, there's a brand new start. I want you to look at the first slide on the overhead. If we can get, there it is. Matthew, this is Jesus speaking. One day in the New Testament, some religious leaders were questioning Jesus about marriage and about divorce. I think it's very interesting. Later he talked a little bit about marriage, but about divorce. But really, he says in Matthew 19:4, haven't you read, why, and these were religious people, so he's kind of making fun. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female. And so he begins, Jesus simply goes back to the beginning, he goes back to the basic design of marriage. So that means everything we need to know about life, every aspect of life, is found in the Bible, the Word of God. So Jesus himself said, well, why are you asking me about this? Just go back to the Word of God, the Old Testament. You'll find the answers for your marriage, for your life. About divorce, what options are on divorce? And we know there's basically two reasons, scripture reasons for divorce. We're not here to talk about divorce. We're here to talk about marriage. So here's the first key word of seven key words we're going to cover. The first key word is God. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalms 127, Old Testament. For those of you that don't know where that is, a friend right next to you will help. Kind of go midway between in the Bible. If you can go to the book of Matthew, and then halfway between there in Genesis, you'll find Psalms 127. It's a great passage from Solomon, King Solomon, and he wrote this. Go to Psalm 127, verse 1. Okay?
Hello.
The watchmen stand guard in vain. So if you are taking notes, here's one of the first ones. Only God can build a home. That's what Solomon says. Only God can really build a home. The world will say, well, that's not true. But God says, no, I designed every human being. I designed it to be led by me. So it's a pretty standard thing. God really says that family that he designed has to be run as he designed it. Well, how did he design marriage? How did he design it? Well, to know that, we go back to the book of Genesis. So you're close by. Just go right to the front of the Old Testament. Genesis, for those of you that are new, Genesis, first book in the Bible. And let's go down to verse chapter 2, verse 18. So this is real basic, but it's important that we do it and we go through it in an orderly fashion so it makes sense to all of us. Look at verse 18. And then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man," which was Adam, who was the first man ever created, "to be alone." We'll come back to that in a moment, alone. "I will make a helper suitable for him." Look at verse 21. "So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to man." And then he says in verse 24, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." So, what did God design marriage as? Here's the next note that you can see. God designed the husband and wife as the primary relationship of the family. So, there's no kids. Then there will be kids. Then the kids will be gone. And what are you always left with? Your spouse. That's the way marriage is. Marriage is always between a man and a woman. Now the world today, our world is very different, as you know. And the world redefines marriage as to whatever it would like it to be. But God never redefined marriage. This is always the design of marriage. One man, one woman for life. Now we'll go through some of that. But something that's very important is this. Notice when I read to you, God said this, "It's not good for man to be alone." God created Adam perfect. He was in relationship with God, and yet he was lonely. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. I thought if I have a relationship with God, everything's perfect. It is in a spiritual way. But we relate to humans. And write this down and I'll come back to it in a moment. There's three principles that are key in our life. God, people, and the use of our time. God, people, and how we use our time. That's how life is designed. Those are the three principles. And of course, the focus of life is not really here. It's on eternity. Because that's where we're going to live forever. So there's God and then there's man. So God said, Adam, it's not good for you to be alone. So he created a woman for man. And he did that. One of the major keys initially was to end loneliness. So here's a principle for you. If you're married, are you lonely? You say, well, that's impossible. I'm married. How could I be alone? Oh, there's many married couples that are lonely. So I may uncover a few things as I go through today, but that's good because one of our words is going to be teachable. Now remember, let me see if you did good so far. Any perfect marriages here? Did I see your hand? John, keep your hand down. There's no perfect marriages. So we'll go through that. So you say, well, do you mean I could be married? I could be married 20 years, Pastor Mark, and still alone? Yes. Because you're not sharing the real you in that marriage. You're not spending time together. So God did marriage to end loneliness. So, I mean, if I'm going to be in a marriage and I'm lonely, there's a problem in my marriage. And we'll talk about that later. Because, see, Adam and Eve are in relationship with each other, and they're in relationship with God. Now, let me give you a pictorial, because I think pictures make it much easier. This is the design of every marriage. This is God's design of every marriage. Now notice, first key word is God. So, here's God. He's the head of the marriage. We take our guidelines, we take our direction from Him. Everything in life relates to a relationship with God. So let me go through this quickly. This is the way marriage is supposed to be. The wife and the husband are first to have a relationship with God Himself. They're to be Christians. They're to have their sins forgiven, accepted Jesus Christ, and they're in relationship with God. Now, watch something that happens. As this wife gets closer to God, let's put her up here in a relationship with God. Just like in a marriage, we grow in our relationship with God. I've been a Christian more than 60 years. I'm still growing in my relationship with God. But let's put the wife right here. And let's take the husband and put him right here. So if the husband is here in his relationship with God and the wife is here, and you draw a line, how close are they compared to this? Way closer. That's the design. Now, if you take it the other way, and the husband goes off the screen down here, he really doesn't have a relationship, and then you take the wife, and you took her line, and it goes down to here, we have a problem. That's why God's design is always to have the wife and the husband growing first in their personal relationship with God. The wife can't grow the husband, and the husband can't grow the wife. How many of you have been married more than 10 years? Could I see your hand? Okay, good. I'm sure you learned this. You cannot change your spouse. Could I hear an amen somewhere? But how many of you are still trying? Put your hands up, be honest. Doesn't work though, does it? It doesn't work. Those of you that aren't married, I'll get to you later. Because you're going to go like, oh, not us. We're perfectly in love. Give me a break. I'll talk to you later. Understand. So what does that mean? I can't stimulate my wife in a relationship. I can encourage her, but I can't draw her closer to God. So it's up to each individual to have a relationship. So this is a picture of marriage. Now, how does the world do marriage? Most of the world does marriage without God. That isn't really marriage. Because we were never designed to do it that way. Before I was a pastor, I worked as a hospital pharmacy director for many years. And when a doctor would write a prescription, I had to make an IV, I had to make a cancer drug, I had to do whatever. I made sure that the drug matched the disease that the patient had. So I just didn't go down to the pharmacy, mix up this IV, put any kind of drug in it I want, and hand it to the doctor. Say, hey, it'll work, go ahead. And he reads on the label and says, well, that doesn't work for this disease. No, it's fine. Go ahead. No, I had to give the drug that matched the disease. Marriage, you can't do marriage by your own making. That's why the first word is God. Everything sets from God. So what did God say? Psalm 127, it's impossible to build a godly marriage without God. You can have a marriage, but you definitely cannot have a very successful marriage without God. So that's simply it. How important is marriage? God established marriage, next slide, as the foundation of the family and society. It was the first institution. There was no house. There was no school. There was no government. There was no church. And so what did God do? He told Adam and Eve to create themselves, recreate themselves by sexual union, sexual intimacy, and then to raise children. So we'll get to children later. But from that marriage come children. Where are the children to learn about God? Well, in the church? Yes, but primarily, no. Are they to learn about God in school? No. How about in the government? No, that's not the role of the government. Where are they to learn about God? In the home. From a husband and a wife who have a relationship with God. Now, you can see as we begin to talk about that, since, look at this key, God established marriage as the foundation of the family and society. Here's what we say, as the family goes, so goes the world. So how is our world doing with the family? Not well at all. In the United States and other parts of the world, huge numbers of children are raised. Sometimes 20, 30, 40% of our children are raised with no father in the home. Does that affect our society? Huge. Absolutely. Well, God said no. It has to be a man and a wife. Not two women, not two men, a man and a wife, so that their children can learn about God in the home. So you're going to see at the end, my last word, if you want to go all the way to number 7, is going to be fight. Not fight each other, but fight for your marriage. Now, why would we have to fight for our marriage? Because there's only two kingdoms in the world, and I'll try to broaden this for those of you that are not Christians, because it's good for you to understand it. There's only two kingdoms in the world. It has nothing to do with Singapore, it has nothing to do with America. There's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. Everybody's born in the kingdom of Satan. When we become a believer, we transfer to the kingdom of God. So when that happens, there's automatic war. It's called spiritual warfare. And the fight that we fight is not physical. It's spiritual. See, the real you is going to live somewhere forever. It's not your body. It's not your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. It's your spirit. You will either live with God in heaven or apart from God in hell. So there is a spiritual battle. Since marriage is the foundation of the world, who would be against marriage, number one? Tell me. Satan. So Satan wants to do everything he can do to destroy our marriages. Now, I'd like to say to you, for those of you that aren't Christians yet, you like to say, well, like that means that every Christian marriage, everybody that's a Christian gets married, their marriage is terrific and marriage lasts. No, I'm sorry to say. Very often, the divorce rate in marriage among Christians is pretty much the same as it is in the world. Why is that? Because we say that God rules our marriages, but not really. We just kind of do our own thing. So there is a spiritual battle, and it's because the foundation of the home is always to be man and a woman, and mom and dad are teaching the children how to know God. So, in this room, you need to understand right now, those of you that are married, Satan's goal is for you to have your marriage destroyed. It's very personal. See, the spiritual war is not this, wow, this big spiritual, 7 billion people, there's some kind of war going on, but it doesn't have anything to do with me. No, it has everything to do with every single one of you in this room. He'll do whatever he can do to destroy your marriage or make it miserable. Remember I talked about being alone? Okay. So, Second word, first word is God, of the seven words that we're learning. Second word is teachable. Teachable. That means capable of being taught, apt to learn, willing to receive instruction. Now, this is a great verse. I love it because Solomon teaches about wisdom. You understand this. The minute you stop learning, you really stop living. The minute you stop learning, you really stop living. And I have a couple sayings that I use a lot at home. If nothing changes, nothing changes. But if something changes, something changes. Our life is filled with change. Can you imagine you today, young people won't have a clue what I'm talking about. Can you imagine the cell phones we had in the 70s and 80s? They were as big as your car. You had to get in and sit next to your cell phone. And the antenna went outside your car. And the battery life was about 12 seconds. And you had hernia carrying your cell phone. Today, you know, I teach from an iPad. What if I wasn't teachable? What if you're not teachable? See, we want to be teachable in a lot of things, but we definitely want to be teachable in the things of God. So, second word is teachable. Here's what Proverbs says. Let the wise listen, notice, and add to their learning. Solomon, the wisest man, said, if you're going to continue to be wise, you have to add to your learning. And let the discerning get guidance. So no one here ever arrives. As you're growing in your walk with God and your walk as a parent, as a spouse, we want to learn. And that's what we're doing here this afternoon. We need to bring our minds to the Word of God and say, how can we do this? Now, go back to Psalm 127. Let's look at this where you were just a few minutes ago. Psalm 127, 1. And let's look at two ways to build a family. Two ways to build a family. Notice again, unless the Lord, unless God builds a house, its builders labor in vain. The word vain in the original means there, labor that produces nothing good. So here's the next slide. There are two ways to build a family. God's way or my way. So just begin thinking, how are you doing building your family? God, who designed the family, said there's only one way to make it work. Solomon writes, this is the way you do it. Now, we would like to think, if I'm a pretty wise person, I can do my marriage without God, without God's help, without His wisdom, without His direction. No, I can't. Because here's another proverb. By wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it's established. What is wisdom? There's a lot of definitions from wisdom. This is the one I happen to use. Wisdom is living life according to God's point of view, with God's values that are in the Bible and in God's timing. See, wisdom isn't equal to human wisdom. It's equal to God's wisdom. Now, why is that different? Because God's ways are not always our ways. So I can't just do life and marriage. You know, if I could do that, if I've been married 45 years, I ought to be able to do marriage without God. No, I can't. I still need to understand His direction, His proverbs, His precepts, and that comes from being in God's Word. Where do I get God's point of view? Where do I get God's point of view? You're holding it in your hand, the Bible. That is God's mind to us. So the more I'm in the Bible, the more I understand the view of God. By wisdom is living according to God's point of view. The more I'm in the Bible, the more I understand it. Now, look at 127 again. Verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, builds. What is build? Now, all of you that build an apartment, that build a house, furnish it. When you're done, you're done. Notice it's builds. Keeps on building. It's a process. Your marriage is always a work in progress. Why is it? Because there's always someone against your marriage. It's not only Satan. You're going to see this in a moment. It's you and me. Let me give you a little understanding how it is to be teachable. I need a lot of work in my marriage. I want you to write two little things down. Two little words. You know, we have iPads, we have iPhones, we have eyes. So here's what I want you to write down. I selfish. And here's the second one I want you to write down. I boss. I selfish and I boss. The married couples are already laughing because they know exactly what I'm talking about. You see, our marriages struggle because I'm very selfish. That's my human nature. I only care about me. I don't really care about you. Because Mark, you're a pastor. I know, but I'm human. I'm very selfish. And in my house, I like to be boss. I'm boss. So that's what we come to in our marriages. And it's common for every single person. And so listen to this. That's why I need to be teachable this afternoon. Jim, who is getting married, this is for you guys that are getting ready to get married. Jim, who was getting married, had the ring in his hand and said, "Sweetheart, I love you so much. I want you to marry me. I don't have a car like Johnny Green. I don't have a yacht like Johnny Green. I don't have a house like Johnny Green. I don't even have the money of Johnny Green. But I love you with all my heart." And Sue looked into Jim's eyes and said, "I love you too, sweetheart, but could you tell me a little more about Johnny Green?" You see, that's the nature that's in you and me. Now, to be teachable, we have to be willing to learn. One day Jesus said this, "You're not willing to come to me that you'll have life." It's not that he couldn't, but they wouldn't. So it's a matter of our wills. So first of all, key word is God. Second key word today is teachable. Are you teachable enough, even though you've been married a long time, to understand the principles that we're talking today from God? Those of you that aren't Christians yet, are you teachable? Are you willing to take, at least consider, what God says about marriage? Here's the third key word. We. I'm not talking about the we. I'm talking about we. Look at Psalm 127:1 again. Unless the Lord builds the house, it's builders. There's an S. It's builders labor in vain. So, that means that marriage, you already saw what it looks like. That triangle, again, is God. Marriage is not a twosome. It's a threesome. God, husband, and a wife. That's the builders. Now, let me read to you from Genesis. We already read it a moment ago. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." So when a man and a woman get married, they are no longer, Jesus taught this, they're no longer two. They actually become one. Oneness means that you are in agreement with God and your spouse. Now, let's take a look at the next slide. When we talk about oneness, you don't like the word oneness, use the word team. We all understand team. We're a team. We're working together. Companionship. Notice companionship goes back to that principle again of loneliness. We're companions. We're doing life together. Now, the Bible has a great picture in Amos 3:3. It's a rhetorical question. It's easily answered. It says this: the two walk together unless they've agreed to do so. Unless they've agreed to do so. So, if I'm walking this way and my wife is walking that way, are we in trouble? Because we're not walking in the same path. We're not doing things together. We can't do things together. We don't have a common unity. There's no companionship there. So just start and ask yourself, in your home, are you walking together? As you look at each other, would you call yourself a team? Does that make sense to you? Notice what Jesus referred back to in the book of Genesis. The two will be united. In my Bible at home, I wrote this: the two of us, when we're married, we're super glued by God. We're super glued by God. He put us together so that we could walk together. We need to learn as a team. Now, warning: oneness is not uniformity. Doesn't mean we lose our identity. We lose our personality. You'll see later. That never happens. I'm going to be who I am, and God created my wife's going to be that too. But we're going to learn to work together as a team, interdependent. Now, I want you to see the next, and this is the same triangle, but these are the three things I want you to write down that God does in your marriage. Number one, we already talked about the first one: God designed marriage. Number two, God directs our marriage. He directs our marriage through the Word of God. He gives us the directions. We won't spend a lot of time on that today, but He gives us directions how that works. And last, God empowers us. He gives me the ability to do marriage as He designed. So when I'm dealing with a couple, and they'll say to me, we can't live together the way God says. We're just not getting along. It just won't work. That's totally wrong. You're not willing to make it work. Because here's the key: anything God calls us to do, God empowers us to do it. Anytime you're asked by God to do something, He doesn't say, do this, and not give you the ability to do it. So anything that God calls me to do, He equips me to do. He empowers me to do it. So this is the three ways that God works in our life. He designed marriage. He says, here's how it works. I'm going to direct you as you do your marriage. And by the way, I'm not only going to direct you, but I'm going to empower you to do the same thing. Now, as you begin thinking about that, there has to be... turn to Ephesians, New Testament. Let me show you how this works. We're talking about a team. We're talking about being together. Ephesians 5:33.